Hi, and welcome to the Industries and COVID podcast. I am your host, Joshua Brooker. Throughout this series, we will be talking with professionals from a range of industries to discuss how COVID-19 has impacted, for better or for worse, their ability to work. We will also explore how they have reinvented and expanded their methods of operation to continue providing services to their clients during this time of social isolation. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the podcast. This week, we are talking with Janice Hawk, the owner of Demo Maniacs. Demo Maniacs is a voiceover training and recording company based in Toronto, Ontario. Janice has been in the industry as a voice actor for over 20 years, lending her voice to ads ranging from Toys R Us and OLG, as well as being the signature voice for country music television. Taking her experience and passion for the industry, Janice opened Demo Maniacs in 2005. The company teaches people the proper techniques for performing and allows them to acquire a strong foundation to be successful in their own voice acting careers. How are you doing this afternoon, Janice?
I'm awesome, Josh. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Let's dive into a little bit about what you do, the process of what it takes to make a demo reel, and even just going through what it's like to voice act pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID voice acting. Well, I guess, you know, the auditions, for the most part, you have to go to a studio to audition and then go back to that studio or a different one to do the gig if you book it. And sometimes they do demo recommends. And a demo recommend is when you have a demo and it speaks for you. So your agent would send it out, and then the client, the ad agency, would choose an actor for that gig without auditioning. And that's usually because of two reasons. The first being there's not enough time to audition. They don't have a quick enough turnaround to do the auditions and choose and everything, or they don't have the budget, or both. So about probably 5 years ago, demo recommends became really, really popular. And now it in non-union voice and union, it's probably over 65% of the voice jobs are demo recommends. So you don't even audition. Your demo auditions for you. And then you just get a call saying you got a job. It's like the best of all possible worlds. Right?
Right. Though I'm sure it's hard for people who are trying to get in. It's like, well, I don't have experience. I don't have a demo to really throw out there. So you're really, I guess, just trying to bank on trying to make a good demo reel at that point, and even like word of mouth to anyone who's already in the industry.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that a lot of people make a demo before they're ready. And it's a real disservice to them, and it's a waste of their money. And it also doesn't look good on the person who, you know, produced the demo. So at Demo Maniacs, we don't make demos for people who are not ready, because why waste their money and their time? And it's, you know, most people think, oh, I'll just get an amazing voice demo and then I'll learn how to become a voice actor. And really, it's the flip. You need to learn what you're doing, how to do it, get some experience practicing, taking classes. There's lots of stuff you can do at home. And then when you're ready to perform, the last thing you do is make a demo, because you got to back that up. You have to back that demo up on a moment's notice. And too many people spend a lot of money on shiny demos. And then they go, you're amazing. You should come audition. And then they go and audition and they're like, bleh, bleh, because they don't know what they're doing. And there's so much more to voiceover than reading a script and following the punctuation.
Yeah, you got to put in the emotion. You need to be able to really sell the character or the role that you're trying to portray.
Yeah, you do. And you have to do that authentically, because these days there are less and less announcery type reads and more authentic person to person. Hey, you know, like, this lawnmower is really crappy. I should go to Home Depot. And this is one of the terms that they use. It's real person, non-announcery is what they say, actually. Yeah.
Right. Well, that's definitely interesting. So how has this really changed with COVID, which I'm sure that has really taken a hit on demo reels and kind of like auditions, I would think.
Yeah, well, you know, the studios closed down at the very beginning, and we were all sent an email by our agent that said, everybody has to get, you know, a mic and a preamp and all this equipment, and then get some software to record. And we were scrambling, and I don't have any experience engineering. I don't have any desire to be an engineer, but COVID sort of kicked us all in the pants and forced us with gigs that were already going. Because the thing is that the ad world didn't stop. it didn't stop. They were still getting people to record themselves in their homes and then editing that together to make a television commercial, and they still needed the voiceover. So voiceover did not stop. Advertising did not stop. And so I had to scramble and figure out where to get a microphone, what microphone to get. And they range in price between, you know, seriously, $75 to thousands of dollars for the type of mic required. I'm lucky because I have a good friend who records a lot of things, music and otherwise. And so he was like, I got a mic for you. I got a preamp for you. And I was like, oh my God. But, you know, I lucked out there. But for some people, it was quite an expense. But the thing is that I had to, because I had some gigs that were still happening. So I had no choice. So I kicked my partner out of his closet and took it over, and we turned it into a vocal booth. And I literally have used it about probably 50 times in 5 months. But that's for jobs, and that's for auditions as well, because all auditions right now are at home. There are no in-person auditions, and there's hardly been any demo recommends as well from demos. They're just like, now they know everybody's got something set up at home. So we've all been navigating that, and it has had some bumps. Luckily, I have some good friends that are engineers with a lot of experience. So I had a software tutorials. So that was fun.
I would say that's pretty amazing thing to luck into. And I'm actually a bit surprised that the advertisement part of the industry has really stayed gung-ho.
I do have a few friends that have already shot a commercial. And I have some friends on Murdoch, the Murdoch set. That's just started up again. So that's great. I mean, people do need to get back to work, but they do need to do it safely. I think a lot of people are a little tired of sitting at home. Thank goodness we've had gorgeous weather here, though. Like, it's been absolutely spectacular. And, you know, I've gotten to know some neighbors around here that I wouldn't have normally run into. And we've gotten back to a little bit more community, which instead of, like, you know, that sort of blind, you know, get in your car, go to work, drive through the traffic, da 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 da.
No, not otherwise.
Yeah, there's a little bit more like hanging out, talking to neighbors and, you know, having a beer in a lawn chair 6 feet apart. I think it's great.
Yeah, and we touched on a little bit. It was like how COVID's really kind of changed the way you operate in terms of sending in demos and doing demos. Have you been able to record people who are wanting to do demo reels in the same way?
Yeah, I've done a couple of demos, and we have a tablet in the booth with the client, and we have a tablet with the engineer, and I direct from home. So because the studio is too small to socially distance, so I'm on screen with the client and I'm on screen with the engineer, so I can talk to both of them. And it's been extremely successful. Yeah, but everything else is the same. The production quality is the same. I'm writing the scripts. I'm working with the client on Zoom, you know, beforehand. We do some coaching. The only thing we haven't been able to do is in-person classes. So we've been doing them on Zoom. You know, we do a lot on those Zoom calls. We can practice a lot of our skills. I can direct on Zoom and we get a lot done. And we've had some really fun classes. Each week we focus on something different. So narration, documentary, ebook, commercial, character, e-learning. We've actually had a really fun time doing those classes. And then I've had a video game expert come in and direct a class on video games, which was amazing. And we're doing another one in a few weeks. And then an animation director doing some stuff on Zoom as well. We have an audition workshop helping people audition. And I also added a kids Zoom class, which is crazy and super fun. I had a kids class today and I really love working with them, teaching them how to do commercial voiceover and change up their reads and use their bodies. And we do tongue twisters and fun stuff like that. But those classes have been awesome. So that was something new. So, you know, where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah. Well, it's a great time to kind of test those waters too, because if they're enjoying doing it through Zoom, there's always the potential, if things get to that point, where you can maybe have four or five of them and do like an in-studio program.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing like being in studio. There really isn't. Doesn't compare.
I even got a different energy when I was able to watch these actors come in and do their ADRs to the screen itself, and just kind of able to work in person with the lead sound editor and even the ADR recordist.
Yeah, it is. It's very different.
With everything being so remote now, have you been able to reach out to people who might not have been able to come down to the studio who have been interested in doing this?
Yeah, that's a good question, actually, because I've had some clients from the East Coast and the West Coast doing our Zoom voice practice sessions. So that's been really great for them and for me, too, to be able to work with some people that I normally wouldn't be able to work with.
Sure, it has been. Now, it's not going to happen for a while, but say, you know, COVID ends within the next couple of months. What permanent changes do you think this pandemic and isolation has helped change the business, whether for the better or for the worse?
Well, I definitely think that auditions are going to stay this way. I think getting people to record from home and send in your takes is here to stay. Sometimes you would get self-tapes, but now people have actually made an effort to actually learn the software, get a good quality mic. Auditioning from home is here to stay. And I actually think that working from home is also here to stay for the time being because it's cheaper and it's efficient. They don't have to pay for the client's meal. Studios bear no expense to host clients, right? So that isn't happening. Even when I've gone into the studio to record nowadays, there's no client there. Everybody's on Zoom. It's just me and the engineer. And I can hear the director through my headphones, but there's nobody there anymore. So it's different. And I think that's probably going to, for the most part, stay that way.
Yeah, because I remember when I was doing my internship, we did something like what you guys have been doing. Except we used Skype at the time because I don't think Zoom had quite taken off to these proportions yet?
No, it wasn't around.
They were in Halifax, I believe, and they did a whole ADR recording session connecting the two through plugins and softwares. Halifax and recording it down from Liberty Village, Toronto.
Yep. The clients are not always in the same city. That's been happening for a long time. Studios use Source Connect to connect the actor to the studio now, which is, I haven't really had much problems with it, but it's hit and miss.
Yeah, you know what? Once I've figured out the setup, I've been loving Source Connect. It's been a great way to plug in through into Zoom, into Google. With everything having to close down right after the government policies, did Demomaniacs have to take advantage of any of the subsidies to really keep its doors open?
No, I didn't have to because I use two different studios in the East End here in Toronto, and I rent the studios when I need them. So at the moment, Demomaniacs doesn't have an HQ, but we definitely have plans to have a Demomaniacs space. Super excited, but that's all I can tell you. There was no defaulted on rent or subsidies needed. As you know, I hire engineers and studio as I go. I hire teachers and coaches as I go. And honestly, I've been busier than ever.
How did your clients react? Like people who you had lined up to record demo reels, were they a bit skeptical about having this new process to Zoom in to basically record their reels?
Well, I'm the only one that Zooms in. The client is in studio. You know, everybody was saying when the lockdown was in place and those of us who had steady gigs had to work from home, or if you got a gig during COVID, you had to work from home as well. They were saying, don't worry, it's going to go back to normal. And there's nothing like coming into the studio. You cannot get the same sound quality. And if you had a trained ear to voice over during the lockdown, you could totally hear the commercials on the TV. You could totally hear the difference because the sound quality, frankly, just doesn't compare to being in a soundproof booth with, you know, thousands of dollars of equipment and an engineer listening to every tiny little sound. It doesn't compare. It just doesn't compare. So everybody was saying, don't worry, we're going to get back into the studio because really, this is not ideal. Recording from home is not ideal. Frankly, to expect an actor to go out and buy thousands of dollars worth of equipment, to find a spot in their apartment or their house to soundproof, and then learn the software, and then buy this. It was a bit bonkers there for a while because people weren't making any money.
Oh, and it's a time-consuming thing to learn Pro Tools in of itself.
Yep, some of them are tough, and it's definitely an exercise in patience, I will say that.
For sure, especially when you're trying to introduce new plugins. I spent probably a few days trying to figure out Source Connect, and I just finally went, you know what? I'm going to YouTube. There's got to be someone I can watch and just kind of figure it out.
I was alone. But I had a few hissy fits, that's for sure. I still don't want to be an engineer, but I will say I do feel, you know, empowered having figured it out, I know how to record my own auditions. I know how to edit my auditions. I know how to normalize and glue the track together and bounce it out and render the track and turn it into WAV or MP3 or whatever and send it. I know how to do that. And I think the biggest learning part was because I had to listen to myself so closely and choose the right track and edit out the breath, I learned things about my own voice and habits that I had that I didn't know that I had until I had to edit my own tracks.
Yeah, which the engineers are always listening for and be like, hey, I know what your little habits are, so you don't have to worry about them.
But they never tell us. They never tell us, right?
Because it's not a big deal. It's an hour of editing and it's done.
Exactly. So it was really interesting for me to hear my own voice and the mistakes / habits / what the hell is that sound? And having to edit it out and then get a better grip on what I'm doing in the booth. So it's actually been a really big learning curve for me to have to be a mini engineer.
As frustrating as it can be, it's always fun learning something new. And then once you get it, you're like, I now understand your difficulty in this.
Yeah, it's empowering. I will say auditioning from home is here to stay for sure, for sure, for sure. And occasionally recording your gig at home, it's here to stay, probably. But, you know, advertising has always reinvented itself. And I mean, it's been around for a long time. So who knows how it's going to change? I mean, advertising is not going anywhere, but it's certainly going to reinvent itself. Like, we've all had to reinvent ourselves, right?
Well, I want to say thank you, Janice. And this has been a pleasure and an honor and extremely fun talking with you and getting an insight onto the advertisement industry as well as the voiceovers and acting and all the recording that you do.
Thank you, Josh.
I want to thank everyone for tuning into this episode of Industries in COVID. This series is produced and edited by Wave by Wave Productions. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter to stay updated on all projects, episode releases, and announcements on future guests. Links for both are posted in the description below. If you want to know how a certain industry or sector has been impacted by COVID, leave a comment on Twitter. Episodes will be released every other Monday. Thank you, and have a good day.